This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington, D.C. Neil Conan is away. Screening for breast cancer is a challenge, often scary, painful, and confusing. And it only got more confusing over the last 2 weeks. A major medical group questioned the current recommendation for regular mammograms for all women in their 40s. The American Cancer Society said women with a high risk of developing breast cancer should not only get mammograms, but also MRI scans. Yet another study said that computer-assisted mammography may provide misleading results and was no better than regular mammography. Later in the program, our Wednesday visit with political junkie Ken Rudin. If you have questions about national politics, you can send them to us by email now. talk@npr.org is the address. But first, new research on screening breast cancer. What does this mean for women? If mammography isn't always the best course, what is? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can also comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. We begin here in Studio 3A with NPR health policy correspondent Joanne Silberner. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Joanne, a woman could be forgiven for feeling a little whipsawed by all of these studies this week. What do you make of them?
Well, you know, it's true of anything in medicine that studies will go back and forth and back and forth until they, you know, a consensus is hit and they start to become consistent. It's true especially with breast cancer because, well, first of all, it's a cancer. So, you know, there's a lot that people put into that. There's a high amount of interest in this particular cancer, which means there's a high amount of money, which means that there's a lot of research, and sometimes it's going to disagree. And things keep changing. You know, as the research goes on, as new techniques develop, you know, for example, that you mentioned the computer-detected cancer, the computer-detected mammography. Well, they used the computer detection methods that were around when they did this, when they started collecting data a few years ago. There's new computer systems around now. You might get a different result if you did the study again, but you'd have to do the study again.
Right. And by then there may be new technology.
Exactly.
We're also joined on the line by Dr. Constance Lehman, and she is a radiation oncologist or a radiologist, excuse me, a director of radiology at the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Lehman.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about mammography as a technology. Explain, first of all, how it works. It's X-rays.
That's right. When a woman goes in for a mammogram, her breasts are compressed, and an X-ray image is taken of the breast. That can either be with film technology, an analog technology, or with digital.
And so why is there so much room for difference in terms of how one radiologist may see it versus another, how a computer may read it versus a human being? Why is there so much gray area?
Well, what was exciting about mammography and what continues to be exciting about mammography is we can see cancers before they will become evident to the woman by feeling her breast or to her doctor by feeling the breast tissue. And that's why we've seen an impact in decreasing breast cancer mortality. We can find these cancers earlier with mammography, but it's an imperfect tool. It takes an X-ray, but the density of a cancer may be very similar to the density of some women's breast tissue. So being able to sort out what might be a cancer and what's normal breast tissue or normal changes in the breast can be challenging.
And this is where the different age guidelines come in, because younger women have denser breasts?
I think there are two reasons. One, younger women do tend to have denser breast tissue, but also younger women who do develop breast cancer, those cancers tend to grow more quickly.
So you were one of the authors of the American Cancer Society guidelines that said high-risk women should get both mammograms and MRIs. Who's, first of all, is in that high-risk pool?
Well, the women that are in this very high-risk pool are women that have a known genetic mutation, or women who have a first-degree relative with a mutation, or women who have a 20% greater lifetime risk of developing breast cancer. That might be based on their family history or on other factors, if they received radiation to their chest wall between the ages of 10 and 30. So there's a fairly heterogeneous group of women, but what we're looking for are those that, if we predicted their risk of breast cancer over their lifetime, it would be greater than 20%.
Joanne, MRIs are more expensive than mammograms. Are insurance companies covering them?
Well, right now I think that some are, because they're really being done for high-risk women, but there's no legislation like there is for regular mammograms.
Do you see that coming?
I haven't heard of anything about that coming, but it'll be interesting to see if it develops. You know, this idea of using it as a screening tool is new, and it'll be interesting to see how they react to that. It wasn't really until the early 80s that we saw any legislation at all for regular mammograms, which had been around for a couple of decades by then. So it did take a while for that to happen with regular mammograms.
And so what about the women, Dr. Lehman, who are at some risk but not necessarily high risk, who maybe have one relative with a history of cancer but not a lot and don't necessarily have a genetic component, who are concerned? I think probably most American women are concerned about breast cancer but don't necessarily fall into that high risk group.
Well, in the recommendations, we've divided women into three groups. The very high risk that we've talked about, women who are at average risk. As far as we know, there is nothing that is placing them at increased risk. They have no personal history. They have no relatives with breast cancer. For those women truly at average risk, we recommend that they not undergo MRI. There is a middle group that you're talking about where currently there's not sufficient evidence for us to recommend strongly for or against. For those women, we think it's important that they talk to their doctors and weigh the potential benefits and harms of adding MRI. At this time, we don't recommend those women do undergo annual MRI, but it may be something they want to talk to their doctors about.
Let's take a call from Al in San Antonio. Al, welcome to the Talk of the Nation.
Yes, I'm an internist in practice in San Antonio. I had a patient who's had an annual physical exam and an annual mammogram. And her previous mammogram was in July of 2006. She came in January of 2007, stating that she thought her breast felt a little unusual. So even though only 6 months had elapsed, I went ahead and got another mammogram plus an ultrasound, both of which were reported as completely negative. A month later, she continued to feel that the breast was somehow different, even though the physical exam there was absolutely no findings. So in February, we got an MRI. The MRI of the breast didn't pick up the lesion, but it did pick up an axillary lesion, and that was needle biopsied and showed breast cancer. So this is an excellent example of a negative mammogram, negative ultrasound, and a positive MRI.
Al, thanks for your call. Dr. Lehman, that's the kind of story that probably scares a lot of women, that, you know, despite every test possible, it took this one patient coming back and back and back saying something doesn't quite feel right.
Right. I think that the workup in that situation was very good, and we always encourage our patients to remember that they're partners with us, that this woman knew that her breast felt different, and she stayed in communication with her doctor to say, you know, I know the imaging's been negative, but this doesn't feel right. And sometimes in those cases, we'll do a biopsy. It sounds like for this particular woman, I'm not sure if the area that she was feeling that was different ended up being the cancer or if the MRI found something that was unrelated and incidental. But at any rate, going through and being very careful to sort of, quote, see things through to the end, I think is important because none of our tools are perfect, neither clinical breast exam, mammography, ultrasound, or MRI. So we really do need to partner with our patients and be careful in our evaluations.
Well, this also brings up the question of whether finding more cancer is blanket a good thing. I mean, if there is some cancer that will never progress to something dangerous to a woman's health, although it's hard to know which those are, is there a risk associated with discovering cancers that could be overtreated?
I think that's an excellent point. Currently, we know that we both undertreat and overtreat. We overscreen and we underscreen, and we're continuing to evolve to be more focused and more targeted in both our screening and in our treatment. And we're making progress. When we look back 30 years ago, we had women who were all undergoing pretty radical surgeries for, in some cases, very small cancers. We've evolved to a place where we can be more targeted in how we treat many of our cancers, you know, whether a patient needs radiation or not, whether she needs chemotherapy or not. We're getting better at that, but we're still in a frustrating time. While we're making these advances, we still have women who are both receiving over and under treatment and screening.
Let's take a call from Becky in Jacksonville, Florida. Becky, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. You need to turn down your radio, Becky, because we're on a little bit of a delay.
Okay.
Thanks. You're on the air. What's your question?
Well, I don't understand why they don't just stop doing the mammograms and do MRIs in their place. I had implants in 83, silicone implants, had them removed in 2002. They did mammograms and came back with saying there was nothing wrong with my breast, that the implants were not ruptured. Everything looked fine. Did an MRI, and they were both ruptured and laid open. So, I don't know what benefit a mammogram does.
Becky, thanks for your call. Dr. Lehman, is mammography such an imperfect tool at this point that there should be something different in its place, whether it's MRI or some newer technology?
You know, I don't think so, and I know that it's confusing to women when they say, why is she saying that? I mean, here she is a woman that clearly is leading breast MRI trials, uses it actively in her program. So why not just do MRI for all women? Well, there are a few things. One, there is only one tool that we have that is proven to decrease breast cancer mortality. That is mammography. Screening mammography is, yes, imperfect, but it is absolutely, without any question, the best tool we have to date with proven reduction in breast cancer mortality. So we're very concerned that until we have something that can replace that proven effective tool, that we throw it out and leave many women with cancers undiagnosed and then end up in a situation where our breast cancer mortality starts to increase in the U.S. because women are not receiving mammography. So I really want to make sure that we are clear that saying mammography is imperfect does not mean that it is not helpful in reducing breast cancer mortality. It absolutely is.
We are talking about the latest research on mammography and what this means for women. Our guests are NPR's health policy correspondent Joanne Silberner and Dr. Constance Lehman, Director of Radiology at the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. You can join us at 800-989-TALK or send us email talk@npr.org. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington, D.C. Neil Conan is away. Recent new studies about mammograms may have left women confused about the best age to have a mammogram, how often, whether MRI scans are needed if you're at risk from breast cancer. If you have questions about the latest research and what it means to you, give us a call at 800-989-TALK or email talk@npr.org. You can also read what other listeners have to say at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. With us is NPR health policy correspondent Joanne Silberner, and also with us is Constance Lehman. She is a professor of radiology at the University of Washington Medical Center. Also joining us now is Deborah Armstrong, associate professor of oncology, gynecology, and obstetrics at Johns Hopkins University. She joins us from member station WYPR in Baltimore, Maryland. Deborah Armstrong, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So you deal with a lot of breast cancer patients. What's your recommendation on mammograms to most of them?
Well, I think as Dr. Lehman pointed out, there's no question that mammography really remains the gold standard at this time for diagnosing asymptomatic patients. It's a screening tool for patients who are not symptomatic for breast cancer. Really what we've been talking about, I think, today are, you know, some of the subtle changes, as Joanne Silberner pointed out, that will sort of, you know, probably narrow our guidelines or focus them a little bit. But mammography, without question, remains the screening tool of choice. We do certainly, for some patients, add in other imaging techniques. We also add in, for some people, more frequent examinations of the breast, et cetera. So it is individualized based on the individual patient, their cancer history, and their individual risk.
Do you think with this new study about MRIs that you will see more women coming requesting them?
I already have.
Oh, really?
it's no question that those kinds of things that sort of become quite a high profile in public knowledge really are question. They become questions for our patients. The issue with Elizabeth Edwards a couple of weeks ago certainly brought out anxieties in a lot of patients as well. So our patients, you know, read the news, they hear about it, and so I've had a lot of questions about MRI. Point out, as I think as Dr. Lehman said, is that this is a new tool, and how we're going to ultimately use it, I don't think we have defined yet. We certainly know there are some populations where there's definitely a benefit for using MRI. The group that we've been using it in for the longest period of time is in the group that the American Cancer Society guidelines was the BRCA mutation carriers, those who have a mutation that puts them at a very high risk for breast cancer, a risk that's you know, about 10 times higher than the general population. So using a screening tool that is more costly, more complex, is worthwhile in that population. You know, as one of the, as Becky called before and said, why don't we do MRI in everybody? And there's, you know, it's not a piece of cake. You have to get an IV started. You have to have an injection. It is more than 10 times more costly than mammography. I think we certainly know that in people who aren't at high risk, you're going to open a Pandora's box. You'll see things that turn out not to be cancer, but lead to things that are not particularly pleasant, like biopsies and more frequent exams and more frequent imaging.
We have email from April in Woodside, California, who says, what would your experts say about the less invasive heat sensing tests like the thermography test?
Well, thermography is at a much more rudimentary level of evaluation. We have not, in studies to date on thermography, shown any overall benefit in patients. So it's an area that needs more research, but it is not something that should be used clinically outside of a research study.
Are there other technologies in the pipeline?
There are. I think that what we know now the most of is mammography, and especially digital mammography. That's something that still many women in the U.S. do not have the benefit of, although we do have clear evidence that digital mammography will be improved over film screen in women who are younger and with dense breast tissue. I think MRI is receiving, as it should be, a lot of research and focus and how best to use it in clinical populations. And then we're very excited to see other methods of in the future where we might have blood tests or ways to assess, again, which women are at very high risk. Do they have circulating proteins in the blood that would tell us this woman needs to be screened more intensely than another woman?
Dr. Armstrong?
I think certainly there are imaging modalities that we use in other clinical situations that, you know, we hope will ultimately have a lot of usefulness in screening breast cancer, including PET scanning. I think the heat sensing is something that's very exciting. But these are a lot less further along than the things we've been talking about today, such as mammography and MRI. They really have a long way to go, and they are not ready for prime time yet.
Let's hear from Ron in Lodi. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, hi. Thank you and your guests for a very informative program. I have a business associate, a young lady who's in her late 20s, maybe early 30s. Her mother, who's in her early 60s, has recently had surgery for breast cancer, and I believe is undergoing chemotherapy now. When I ask this young lady how her mother's doing, she mentions that, and when I ask her if she's had a mammogram to protect herself, she says her physician says, oh, don't bother with that, this is her terminology, until you're in your 40s. And I say to her, well, why should you wait? Why not start now? And I wonder, is her physician correct, not being personal to her physician, of course, but in general, perhaps physicians are giving this advice still, or do I have something worthwhile saying? And I'll hang up and ask for your comments over the radio.
Thanks, Ron. Dr. Armstrong?
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, our general recommendations in the American Cancer Society guidelines include starting routine screening mammography at the age of 40. For women who have a family history of breast cancer, and Ron's colleague would now meet that criteria, we sometimes modify those recommendations and would give consideration to starting mammography at an age 10 years younger than the earliest person in the family with breast cancer. Now, as it turns out, since her mother had breast cancer in her 60s, that would make the recommendations be in the 50s, and that's already going to fall within the guidelines. So we would probably not, unless there's other family members who have early onset breast cancer before the age of 50, would not recommend screening, routine screening with mammography before the age of 40. I think it should also be pointed out that very young women like this who are around age 30 have dense breasts, and mammography is going to be less sensitive in them. And you're now going to extend by 10 years the period of time that they will be exposed to the radiation of mammography. So I think that her doctor was right in his recommendation that she should follow the general guidelines. Given her mother's diagnosis, you know, she may get a little bit more attention, but that probably wouldn't include starting mammography at an age of 30?
Well, I think the situation is probably a familiar one. If this woman sees what her mother's going through, is nervous about the disease herself, and is told that she doesn't need to get any sort of a test for 15, 20 years, that's also 15, 20 years of getting sort of nervous. Do you find that women use mammography almost like flossing their teeth, that it's a preventative measure that makes them feel better?
You know, I think in some cases people can be reassured by a mammogram. I think there are other situations in which women, you know, I have some women who examine their breasts every day. They're so anxious about it. And I tell them it's like watching your children grow. If you look at them every day, you don't see it. But, you know, when somebody hasn't seen them in a year, they'll see changes. And I think, you know, being overly anxious about breast health, doing exams too frequently, getting imaging too frequently or too soon at an age when we don't know that it really helps reduce mortality is one of those things that probably requires more discussion with healthcare providers and reassurance. What I usually and what we frequently see is as women approach the age of their family members with cancer is when the anxiety level increases. And fortunately, Ron's friend and coworker is still several decades away.
Joanne?
I wanted to go back. One of the questions, this was a woman with a history, but this issue of women in their 40s, this has gone back and forth so many times. It seems to me now that most of the groups recommend it for women in their 40s, and yet the American College of Physicians seems to recently be backing off, saying the patient and the physician should talk to each other rather than us issuing a blanket recommendation. Are they just outliers? Does everybody else think yes in your 40s?
You know, you're right that when the original data came out, and Dr. Lehman can certainly speak to this as well, there were data that said that mammography in the 40s really was not particularly helpful. These are data now that go back, you know, more than two decades, and the quality of mammography at that time, the quality of the interpretation and the reading was really inferior to now. And so these sorts of evaluations do need to be updated, and that's really what the American College of Physicians recent paper did, was to try and update some of that. I think perhaps the most important issue with this was that they were really looking not so much at the diagnosis, but of the other things that can happen in somebody who doesn't have cancer when you do a screening test, and that really falls into the risk category as opposed to the benefit category, and really what they said was in this from their data evaluating the literature that in the decade of the 40s from age 40 to 59 that there probably is pretty close to a balance between those two. And frankly, that's not surprising since breast cancer included, is generally a disease of aging. The older you get, the more likely you are to have the thing you're screening for, and therefore the test is less likely to pick up the sort of red herrings and more likely to pick up what you're looking for. And as you get younger, it's not going to be surprising that you're going to find that you're right almost in an equilibrium there between the benefits of the study and the risks of the study.
Dr. Lehman, did you want to get in there?
Yeah, I think the intentions of the group were good, but I think the impact is either going to be low or actually very negative. So I'm actually concerned about it. I want it to be clear that this group did not do any new studies. There's no new data that they're presenting. These were their guidelines. They wanted to, you know, present information both on the pros and the cons. But I personally think in going carefully over their, quote, guidelines for clinical practitioners, that it's going to confuse the issue more. I think that what those practitioners will need to be able to share with their patients in making recommendations is that the American Cancer Society, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the National Cancer Institute, these are groups that really focus on these issues and very, very carefully evaluate both the pros and the cons and all recommend that women in their 40s be screened. We do know that digital mammography is going to be more sensitive in screening women in their 40s than film screen. We do know it matters the quality of the exam that's performed. But I'm very concerned that women are going to think that this is new information, new data that is suggesting that women not be screened in their 40s. I think that would be a very unfortunate outcome. This has been the first year in the history of, you know, the past 15 years of mammography where we're seeing fewer women undergo screening mammography this year than last year and the years before. That concerns us. It's very exciting, the new methods that we have, but this is still our gold standard. This is the way we've decreased breast cancer mortality. So I think that we need to be very careful in the information we share with women.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Part of these recommendations about women in their 40s say women should talk to their doctors, weigh the benefits and risks, and among those benefits and risks include this sort of fuzzy area of how anxious women are. I mean, it's the risk of exposure to radiation, the risk of a false positive or overdiagnosis, but also the risk of the anxiety that a mammogram may cause. So does that, to some degree, turn a doctor into a psychologist as well as, you know, an oncologist or a radiologist, Dr. Armstrong?
Well, I think, you know, whenever you do a screening test, whatever it's for, you end up having to sort of assess the patient's understanding of what the screening test is for, their willingness to go along with the findings of the screening test. And so certainly there are guidelines, but you really individualize your patient care. And I think, you know, the same could be said for a colonoscopy, which is that if a patient said, if you find colon cancer, I'm not going to do anything, you would try to talk to the patient about that. And I think that as was mentioned before, many women have a lot of anxiety about breast cancer. It's so common that almost everybody knows somebody, whether it's a friend or a colleague or a family member. And so there certainly are women who have a lot of anxiety about breast cancer, and, you know, it feeds into body image and lots of other things. I think that for many women, and I think as Dr. Lehman said, the established guidelines for doing mammography have been around for such a long time that varying from them is probably going to cause more anxiety. And again, I think we don't have data to suggest that there's a benefit for not doing mammography for the general population in their decade of the 40 to 49. So I would say that probably, if anything, the anxiety would be if the recommendation were against that.
We have email from Dick Beale in Rochester, New York, who says, I'm one of the inventors of Kodak's mammography film. When I retired in 2002, it was much better than digital mammography. How does digital compare to film now? Dr. Lehman?
Well, the American College of Radiology Imaging Network Akron study addressed this and compared digital to film screen and found that digital overall did not differ with film screen, but there were groups of women who clearly benefited from digital in that study, and those were young, particularly the young women and women with dense breast tissue. And that's something that we might have predicted because we knew that those groups were at risk for having a false negative mammogram.
And we should distinguish between digital and computer-assisted.
Definitely.
Computer-assisted is where a computer helps read the traditional film X-ray. Is that correct?
That's right. And I think the recent study in computer-aided detection confused some of our patients who came in and said, well, I know that you just have digital, but I just read an article that said that it actually was worse than the other methods. So we wanted to clarify, computer-aided detection is a software program that can be applied to either a digitally acquired or a digitized mammogram, but that is to guide the radiologist to look at certain areas that this software program is marked as potentially suspicious for malignancy.
Let's hear from Judy in Santa Barbara. Judy, welcome to the show.
Just one moment, please.
Judy, you're on the air. I think Judy might have put us on hold. So this, just to clarify, this study about computer-assisted mammography was about that the results from having a computer help read this film were not necessarily better. And it seems that these are all sort of attempts to make mammograms more accurate so that there can be a better blanket recommendation about how often and how young women have them. I mean, is there a movement to sort of build a better mammogram?
Exactly. And one of the exciting findings from in our recent history in this breast imaging research was in the New England Journal saying that, you know, for some groups of women, digital is better. So digital mammography will find cancers better than our traditional film screen. The more recent influence of computer-aided detection study on the performance of screening mammography said computer-aided detection is not better. We actually found a lower overall accuracy in when it was being used and when it wasn't being used.
And we have to leave it there. Thank you, Joanne Silberner, Dr. Deborah Armstrong, and Dr. Constance Lehman. When we come back from a short break, our own political junkie, Ken Rudin. I'm Rebecca Roberts. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.